Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, November the 18th, 2014. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's an honor and a privilege, once again, to get to share this space with everyone who chooses to be on the show with us. We are just delighted to have this opportunity. We're in Bristol, Tennessee. It's sunny and a little on the chilly side here, but at least there's no white stuff on the ground, and that's a good thing. We are getting ready for our second workshop tonight. We did Why Is This Happening to Me Again last night. Small group here in Bristol, but actually a very, very intense session. We've already gotten a text from one person who was there who's seeing a change in her world with her child already. So nice to watch those kind of changes take place. And you watch what happens when people do just one worksheet and how things shift and what happens. It's pretty amazing. So we're honored and delighted, and welcome to the show. Our call-in number, of course, is 646-200-4169. And if you are on one of those stations we can't hear you, then we can't see you in our control panel. If you just call into that number and push 1, you'll be online with us, and we'd be delighted to share this space with you. One of the things that I'm realizing more and more, and I look at the workshops that we've done recently, and people that, you know, you would say, oh, these are really nice people, and yet the insanity that people have been put through, the nice people of the world have been put through in the world is so amazingly bizarre when I see the variety of experiences that people share with us and what's happened with them. It just amazes me. And how people think that they can go forward in their lives and forward in their worlds without ever addressing those issues, without ever doing anything about them, without ever acquiring any new skills. And when those issues start to come forward, the major thrust is that of avoidance. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to look at this. I don't want to deal with this. And our invitation is deal with it, because if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. You know, one of the things to recognize is that everything that we engage in is energy. And the fact that we are energetic beings means that every energy that we've engaged in is going to have its impact in our lives. It's either going to support us or it's going to ultimately work toward destroying us because of the quality of the energy that we engage in. And so what we're working to do here is to understand what the different qualities of energy we are capable of and how those energies impact us. You know, I love how Einstein informs us. On such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. We don't live in a material world. We live in an energetic world. And it always amazes me how people go into situations, whether it's life situations, businesses, relationships, and they're slugging along this bag of unresolved garbage, the pain, the trauma, the drama of a traumatic childhood, the trauma of early relationships, and they go into new relationships and they wonder why their new relationships are not conflict-free. And they're absolutely certain that the reason there's conflict in the relationship, even though they've acquired no new skills and resolved and looked at nothing, why their new relationships are not conflict-free, and they've always got somebody to blame for the fact that there's a conflict. And the name of the person who's to blame is always them. What's wrong with you? Well, yes, I came in carrying this bag of garbage. Yes, I've been through horrible things in my life. No, I haven't resolved them. No, I haven't looked there. No, I don't want to look there. Don't make me look there. And then they wonder why everything isn't peaceful or wonderful in their lives and why they're facing diseases and disorders in their bodies. It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling when you recognize that people are so uninformed about the impact of what they haven't dealt with in their lives. And so we're here to create safety and support and tools to allow and to support people to be able to open, you know, open the proverbial Pandora's box. And of course, the Greek culture warned us, don't ever open Pandora's box. You never know what you're going to find in there. And that's true. You never know what you're going to find in there. However, if you don't ever open Pandora's box, what they didn't tell you is that your life becomes Pandora's box. That the 95% of the mind that's hidden is where the power lies. And whatever we hold at that level of mind is what ends up showing up in some way, shape, or form, whether it's our relationship with our spouses, with our children, with our business partners, you know, whatever. It is all going to show up somewhere. Well, the old saying, it all comes out in the wash. Well, there's a simplified method for staying a step ahead of the cosmic 2x4. You know, if there are things we haven't dealt with, then life is going to come and hit us upside the head with that 2x4. And we're going to get to deal with it in spades. But there is this awesome technology called forgiveness, where if you engage in it on a consistent and persistent basis, you can loosen the lid, take that lid off of Pandora's box, clean everything out that never belonged there, and then change the dynamic in your world rather than dealing with it when it comes along whacking you upside the head. So that's what we're here to do. That's what the tools of the first century Aramaic Yeshua are about. We are so blessed to have the awareness of what he taught and to really truly be able to look under the surface of how the whole game of life works and how to resolve those issues that just seem unresolvable. But it does take the developing of new skills. And so we're here to share those skills with you and share those tools. If you want to access the main tool, actually all the tools that we teach are on our website in some way, shape, or form. You can go to www.hyagain.org. And there's a bullseye right in the middle of the page. If you click that bullseye, it opens up to a whole explanation of how to begin to engage in, particularly, the forgiveness process. And the forgiveness process being the process of removal from your mind those unresolved energies that never belonged in your structure in the first place. What energies need to be removed? Well, if you hold a newborn child, you get an experience of what a human life is. And I'd offer that is the only energy that your physiology is made for. You are designed to incarnate, to embody, to express, and to experience the active presence of love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if you're not, it's because there's something inside of you that you haven't dealt with. Oh, no, Michael, you don't understand. You see, the reason why this is going on in my life is because of them. Well, you know, There's an old poem that we used to use as kids, liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, when you realize you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, sooner or later you start to catch on. Oh, I'm the only one that was there every time. Maybe this is about me. Maybe this is mine to deal with. And so we're here to support you in dealing with it and to offer the tools and the support for moving through every issue in your life. So that's what we're here for. We're delighted that you've joined us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Jeannie, shall we say hello to Dr. Tim? Is he with us?
He is, and he's on.
How are you, young man?
I'm doing well. I'm driving. How's my voice coming through?
Loud and clear.
All right. Well, I'm driving, and I had an occasion already this morning to have somebody say to me, yeah, I know, you know, that stuff, some of that stuff works, but it just, you got to keep doing it, and you got to go over it and over it, and when's it ever going to be done? And this person was probably in their 30s, and I couldn't really give a satisfactory answer because they really just want to be done. They want to find the thing they can do that's going to throw the switch and make it that they don't never have another problem in their life. Or at least that they don't have to work on the problem, that maybe they get to blame other people for it. And of course, my standard answer for people who come at me with that kind of argument is that it's okay with me that I may never be done because the journey gets better and better when I use the tools. And my day-to-day life gets better and better when I use the tools, even though I may still get triggered from time to time. What I have found with the application of these tools is I get triggered less often, and I get triggered less intensely, and I recover faster after I realize I've been triggered, and I actually have a lighter, better, more loving sense soon after application of the tool. Most times, not all the time, but most times. And so that's why I support people in the use of these tools and use them myself on a regular basis. The other thought that came to mind when you were talking about people who don't want to look in Pandora's box is, years ago, decades before I ran into your work, I used to give an assignment in therapy, and it was a short story by one of my favorite science fiction fantasy authors. Her name is Ursula K. Le Guin, and she put out a book of short stories called The Wind's 12 Quarters. And one of the, there were several stories in there that I used as therapy assignments. And the one that came to mind this morning was, she has a short story called The Darkness Box. And it's a beautiful short story representation of what you're talking about. If you choose to block out the negative, the difficult to deal with, then you get stuck reliving the negative and difficult to deal with, and you also limit or cut out an equal measure of the joy, the love, the passion. So it's age-old wisdom. I mean, I probably even the Greeks knew it. But don't open that box.
Well, I suspect, Tim, that the reason why the Greeks had that don't open that box idea is because they didn't have forgiveness. They had a pardoning game. They would let everybody else off the hook for what was happening, but that doesn't resolve, of course, the internal dynamic. So the piece that Yeshua taught of forgiveness, which is the tool for removal of internalized drama and trauma, became an externalized tool of letting other people off the hook. And so the Greek idea of pardoning became called forgiveness. And of course, if you can't ever remove the root of your trauma and you start opening that box, I mean, it's like unpacking the insanity. And, you know, at least when people have it packed away, they've got some semblance of a life. Questionable, but semblance of a life. And when you start unpacking it, if you don't have the tools for resolution, wow, it gets to be crazy time. And so I certainly understand why they said don't open it, because there was no resolution. Fortunately, once you discover the first century Aramaic Yeshua, it's like, oh, here's how you go inside yourself and remove the root of your trauma. You don't have to live with that. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. I remember a few years back, we had a woman who came to an intensive and had just a whole list of things she needed to work on that were traumas in her life. And she called me about, oh, I don't know, a few months after the intensive, and said, I can't wait till next summer's intensive season, because all those things I came with on my list are now a joke to me. They're nothing. And I've got a whole new round, and I'm ready for this new round to become a joke to me. And like, well, then on a daily basis, you continue to use the tools, create a support group and work with people, and you'll find that you'll keep taking those things that seem so heavy and traumatic when they come up, and they will turn into a joke, become things that, you know, in future times you'll be able to laugh and smile about rather than be lost in drama and trauma about. So it's certainly an amazing process to watch happen with folks. And of course, it takes developing new skills. I love that story that, oh dear, what your friend's name
you Guy introduced Finley?
Us to. Guy, yeah, his story about the guy who's starting his new business, his handmade wooden furniture business or handmade wooden chair business, and then 6 months later he's closing it down and putting up a new sign for his handmade wooden furniture business. And, you know, the guy asks, well, why are you changing business? He says, well, I found out it just wasn't very good at working with wood. He said, well, you closed the wooden chair business. Tell me why you're opening a wooden furniture business. He said, well, I just thought I'd try again and see if it would be different. I just think that's such a great story, because that's how people go from relationship to business to job, and so often never bother acquiring new skills and, you know, just kind of hope it will be different. And not exactly the way it works.
Yeah, it's I had somebody I was working with last night, and someone was very upset that I hadn't given them a label, given them a diagnosis, to tell them that they had this or that personality disorder, or that they had this depression, and they were very upset. And my explanation was that for the most part, most people who come through my door, and let's say it's a couples therapy situation, they're both functioning very nicely out in the world, in their jobs and in their individual social setting. However, inside the home, in the relationship, they're both like mad banshees. And so I usually say to them, how long do you think you would keep your job if you treated the people at your job the way you treat your spouse? And it brings them right up in their seat, and they usually honestly say, not very long at all. But the reason I do that is because he this and she that. And so I try to explain to them that it isn't so much that there's a pathology inside the person. It's that the person has gotten into a pattern in a relationship which is stirring up the stuff they need to heal, and they're not healing it. They're simply blaming it on the other person. So that's another thing that's been a theme, is people want a quick fix and they want a label, and really what they need to do is open up Pandora's box and use the tools.
Yeah, and of course, recognizing that Pandora's box means everything has never been dealt with in my bloodline. And yes, it is a shame that we're at the at the, you know, the end of a long line of insane people with so much rage and guilt and grief and pain and trauma in the world in general and in family systems, as you say, these people who are just awesome, wonderful people out there in the world who want to throttle each other. And, of course, they want to throttle each other because they lived with a power person who wanted to throttle them, or perhaps did. And you recognize that these patterns have gone on for so long, you know, and in the same way that one chooses and plans to wash their body every day because they know how raunchy things get, one needs to use to wash their mouth every day. Nice to meet you, Jim.
Quite a bit of road noise there, Dr. Tim.
Yeah, we just lost you there, Tim. Getting too noisy. So. Anyway, let's check and see. I know, Jimmy, you had a couple of questions that were left over from yesterday.
Right. And also, Michelle just sent me a text, and she said that a client of hers sent her a funny and thought it would create a smile. Just spent the 2 hours of my life listening to a Michael Rice knockoff. They're selling a product called Life Leadership. Long story short, I can be on the path to true eternal happiness for a minimum price of $99.99. And here I thought money couldn't buy happiness. That is cute.
Well.
Okay, yes, there were two issues that were left over from yesterday, and one of them is someone had been speaking with their spouse about how they were creating the diseases and things that were going on in their body, and they came back with it was just karma. And so they wanted a little more explanation. They didn't know enough about so-called karma to know, is that the same thing as the generational patterns that are passed on down?
Well, you've asked the right person. I used to be a used karma salesman, so I know all about that. And it's a pretty easy one. You know, karma means nothing more. The way Yeshua talked about it is the law of sowing and reaping. If you put an energy into your field, you know, somebody puts hate in their liver, then their liver is going to start to become diseased. And, you know, in the East, they would call that karma. In the Western world, we would call that the law of sowing and reaping. And whatever energy we've put into our structure, it's true, it is going to play out unless we find forgiveness. And forgiveness empowers us to live in grace. So there's a counterbalancing law to this law of karma or this law of sowing and reaping. And that is that if I choose to connect to the deeper hidden parts of my mind and heal those parts of my mind, forgive those parts of my mind, change my mind about those parts of my mind, then I am free of my karma. You know, people use that as an excuse. In the East, karma is often used as, well, you know, I'm suffering in this lifetime, but what they told me is if I suffer graciously, you know, and I give the wealthy all of my power and all of my money and I do what I'm told, then in the next lifetime I'll be born a little higher on the chain and I won't suffer so much. And, you know, that's a great social system for keeping the downcast at the bottom of the barrel. Well, Yeshua brought a new law, and that new law was that I can choose to go into my structure and remove my karma, remove what has been sown through the process of forgiveness. That's all forgiveness is going inside oneself and removing what never belonged. And that's also been called the law of grace. You know, a lot of times the churches, maybe because they misunderstood or maybe because they just wanted to keep it mysterious, said, oh, there's grace, like that's something that comes along and strikes you in the night. No, it doesn't strike you in the night. It is a gift directly from the Creator, and grace is the ability to change your mind anytime you want. You can remove, forgive content anytime you choose to own and say, I think it's time for me to be finished with this content. I'm ready to move on in my life. And so different game takes over when I do that. And so that would be my take on that whole idea of karma. Karma does not mean I'm stuck with it, but that I want to be even more committed to using the tools to remove what never belonged. Hope that answers the question.
Awesome. And the second one was from, I'm just trying, oh, I was trying to think of whose question it was. It's Angela up in Alaska, and she's not with us today because she's actually traveling down to Seattle. But her question was, is that she's using the Mind Goal Management Worksheet in the evenings and canceling goals and then just framing goals for the next day. But she said even though she does that, that her mind just keeps going and going and going, and it's like she has insomnia. And what can she do with that?
Well, my take would be, and for those who are new to this whole idea of how we create stress, you know, we do a workshop called Getting the Stress You Need. And we live in a culture that tells us that stress is a bad thing, that it's a bugaboo and you don't want to have any stress. Well, I'm, you know, kind of disappointed to inform those who've promoted that idea that if you didn't have stress, you'd be dead. Stress is absolutely your best friend. And if you didn't have stress, you couldn't live. So the key is that because we are ignorant of how we create stress, we go about creating stresses that we have no idea we've created, and then we wonder why we are, quote-unquote, overstressed. So the simple bottom line is that the mind has a very simple purpose, a singular purpose, and its purpose is to show you how to achieve your goals. When you set a goal, not an expectation, people want to water this down sometimes. When you set a goal, I want this to be done, then you've created a stress. The purpose of your mind is to go through all of the information that it's got and give you guidance on how to resolve your stress. If you set a goal that resonates brain cells based in hostility or fear, your mind will be unable to show you how to resolve your stress. And so goals set that resonate hostility and fear create a problem, and the mind just keeps running and running and running. Also, if one is not aware that we create stress by setting goals, they went off to perhaps a goal-setting workshop, and they were told that they should set their hourly goals and their daily goals and their weekly goals and their monthly goals and their annual goal and their 5-year goals and their 10-year goals and their 25-year goals and their 50-year goals and their lifetime goals. So now we've got a mind so overloaded with stress that it can't function, and that person goes into procrastination, because procrastination is just like the computer. When you get the 10th program opened and the computer crashes, too many resources are being used up and the computer can't run. The mind can't run when excessive resources are being used. And so if we're carrying goals from our whole lifetime that we've not either achieved or canceled, and there are only two ways to get rid of a goal once it's set in a mind, and that is you either achieve the goal or you cancel the goal. Otherwise, the stress continues and the mind keeps running to try to give us feedback. And so start to look deeper into what you're carrying into sleep in the way of goals. Maybe it's, you know, goals that are about important issues in your life. I know that that Angela, you had an injury in your throat, and it affected your voice. And I can only imagine there would have to be some very powerful goals for the medical people involved that created that injury. And that might be an area that might be a challenge. And certainly some powerful goals as a school teacher to be able to get back to school and you have full use of your voice again. I can only imagine that would be a huge stressor. And so that would be places to look. And then the other way to determine what goals you're needing to cancel is to just look at and observe the mind chatter that's going on as you try to sleep. You know, you should close your eyes and say, okay, I'm ready for sleep. And the mind's going ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. What's it ka-chunking about? What's it focusing on? And if you start following those and perhaps take some of the themes of what your mind's working on, turn those into worksheets, identify the goals involved, and cancel those goals. And that should put it to sleep. That should put it to rest. And so, and of course, if we've spent a whole life not understanding how we create stress, then we have a whole lifetime of stress to forgive, to cancel, to let loose of. And so my input would be start looking at what your mind is running about, and that will probably cue you into exactly what goals you want to be working on and getting free of. So that would be my take on that question. And was there another question, Jeannie, or was that it?
I think that was it. And yesterday, Michelle had actually given some feedback to Angela, too, that what she does when that happens is she just goes ahead and gets up and writes down whatever it is and just basically puts it in her mind that, okay, I've put it on the paper now. My mind can let it go for the night. And she said sometimes she's had to get up six times during the night to write something down, but that eventually she gets it all out of her head and onto the paper, and then she can sleep.
Right. Good thought, good idea. Another good tool to use when it comes to sleep is, of course, to utilize the connected breath. And as you're breathing, you remember this elemental force that Yeshua taught about that was called Ruach HaKodesh, that is there to undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. It can be useful to, if you're not really sure what the goals are that are running your mind, then ask for guidance. Show me what this is about. I need to know what this is about. And then the invitation to Ruach to take you into that deepened, restful place that you're there willing to be taught and to hear what you need to hear. But as you go into that deep, restful sleep place, that you're taken there by Ruach, and that can be helpful as well. And for those who are not familiar with that term, Ruach, it's a first century Aramaic idea that there is inside of each of us a feminine elemental force, specifically called Ruach HaKodesh. In Aramaic, Ruach speaks of all of the elemental forces. So earth, air, fire, and water are all Ruach in Aramaic. And when you are attuned to that elemental force, then you get to tap into the energetic support for moving in the direction of deep, restful sleep when you ask for it. And so that would be a direction to go with that as well.
Awesome. Yesterday, both Dr. Tim and Manga had offered a short verbal forms of doing the worksheet, short forms of it. And both of those are on the website now. So if anybody wants to check those out, they are out there. And, of course, we explained yesterday we had made some changes that if you go to the website and you click on the target in the middle or click on start here, either one, they both take you to the same page. And that the links that are there, the first one is chapter 24, the second one is to just worksheets, and it will take you to a separate page with all of the forgiveness worksheets listed on it, the seven step, the ones all out of the Julie's book, Killing Children, Loving Children, so the simpler children's versions are out there, and then the third link is the MP3. So, but if you click on the one that takes you to the list of worksheets, then you'll also find Dr. Tim's and Magda's out there. And we do have a hand up.
Cool. Say hello.
All right. It's area code 417. You're on the air.
Hi. And this is Magda again. Hello.
Hey, young lady. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I have a response to Angela's sleep problem. It sounds very much like what I had been going through. And every suggestion that you offered are wonderful. They're all great suggestions. And what Michelle offered about writing down the things that are going on that's also incredibly helpful, to the point where I put a little pad of paper and a little flashlight so I wouldn't wake myself up real big, you know, with a big light, but just having the writing materials right there next to the bed so that I could just, I didn't have to get up, just sit up, write it, and lie down again. And sometimes I would also write down the topics for a worksheet to do, or even get up and do the worksheet and then go back to sleep and, wow, really be able to sleep well. The thing that I learned a few months ago, in addition to all of those things and the offerings that you had, Michael, is that my mind apparently has not been trained yet, retrained, to understand that when I write down intentions of things that I want to make into goals at some point in the future, or may want to make into goals, and just write those down so that they're down on paper. I don't have to circulate in my mind when I'm wanting to sleep. My mind was used to that anything that's written down is a goal, and that's over 69 years of training, right? So I finally decided and discovered that I need to talk to my mind and cancel more than the day's goals. And so after canceling the goals for that day that were unfulfilled, then I go on to say, talking directly to my mind, okay, mind, I'm also canceling, and Ruka is helping me, I'm canceling all thinking. No more thinking now. Canceling worry, canceling dealing with details, canceling wondering, canceling all the things that our minds do. And that has made such a difference. And then I do tell my mind, I only have one goal right now, and that is to go into deep, restful sleep until it's time to get up. And so that might be helpful to Angela as well. I hope so.
Yes,
there, Michael?
Yes, right on track. Cool. Good input, young lady. And
okay.
I know
okay.
that you have a Samsung Note. Did you get that operational?
No, I haven't yet. I'm still dealing with my resistance around doing that because I know that when I activate it, I'm going to be spending hours and hours and hours playing with it. And there have been so many other things that have required attention.
Once you get it operational, there's a neat little program called Evernote that you can put in it. And instead of needing a flashlight and a piece of paper, you just have your phone over there, a fair distance away from your head, but within reach. You don't want it too close with its radiation and all. But just reach over when you go to sleep, leave Evernote turned on, push the button, and just jot your ideas down in Evernote. And the nice thing about it is you can also load Evernote on your computer, and then it automatically syncs. So you've got a copy of it in either place, and you can write on your computer. It'll sync to your phone and vice versa. And so that's what I do, at night. I've always got the phone within reach. And if I start getting guidance or information I need to jot down, I just pop. And I do my best to keep Jeannie asleep when I do that, but sometimes that doesn't work.
Yes. Yes. Okay, good. Thank you. I know that you've mentioned that before, and Chuck loaded it on his, so I'll do the same in the near future when I get this phone activated.
All right.
So that's all I had to add today, and I hope that's helpful. It has been tremendously helpful for me to have this conversation with my mind, this very direct conversation, because my mind just wants to keep chattering and working and, doing all that and misunderstanding that the items that I have written down on my maybe sometime list, that they're not really goals, because all of my life they've been goals. And so it's all about retraining and building the brain cells, You know that.
Well, and recognizing that your mind is designed to be your servant. And, you know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles. It says, you trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you saw, you convinced yourself that what you saw was true. Acknowledge that you have done this, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. So our mind does these things as though it's some kind of an independent agent, and it's not. It's just simply designed to be our servant and to do what it's told to do. And so, you know, sometimes it takes having a conversation with it and putting it in its place.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that. In addition to, you know, putting it in its place, I also very often will give it the gratitude that I have for it, being, you know, such a great helper. And you've done well today, and now it's time to rest, you know. So that all is part of my conversation. So, okay, well, onward. Thank you for the wonderful show. Yeah, I loved your introduction.
All right, have a blessed one.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
646-200-4169 is our calling number. And if you are on the phone, all you have to do is push 1, and you're the next person we're having a conversation with. And our purpose is to be here to have a conversation with you, to support you in learning and experiencing this awesome technology that comes from the first century. In particular, the technology of forgiveness, how to remove, how to let loose, how to untie yourself from the past, and to really, truly live in the present moment with the active presence of love in your mind 24/7, 365. And, of course, if we've got some other plan, if we've got something else we value, then somebody's going to come along and give us the look for doing something other than functioning as love. And it's time for us to get over those excuses. It's time for us to recognize who we are. And, of course, if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly who you are. And then start to deal with any dynamics within yourself that are unlike your newbornness. To go back to that state of that awesome active presence of love is our birthright. It is where we're designed to live. And it's interesting that you can train this mind to believe and do anything. And when you do, you can train it that the most insane and horrible things that are done are good. And the mind has no conscience whatsoever. The being has a conscience. The mind has no conscience whatever it's told to do. Is what's going to happen. And in particular, when the stress is up and the chips are down, what happens is we default to the lowest training that there is in the mind. That's where the parent physically abuses the child. That's where the spouse rages at the spouse. And it's because of what has been trained into the mind that happens. And kind of the good news and the bad news of whenever there's a disturbance, though I can pretend that the cause of the disturbance is outside of me, the fact is 100% of the time that I'm disturbed because I'm disturbed. I'm not disturbed because of what you did. What you did may have triggered the disturbance I've trained into my mind into activity. Or behavior can never cause a disturbance in my mind. Now, that's the good news, because if you choose to do your work, then you're always in charge of it, and you can just put an end to being disturbed. It's the bad news, because every time that you're in that disturbed state, it always comes back to you. Every time I'm in a disturbed state, it always comes back to me. Every time Charlie, Bill, Harry, Mary, or Hortense are in a disturbed state, it's always their disturbance that they're dealing with. And so to me, that's really fabulous news to understand, because if I've lived my life in, you know, a tight-fisted, rageful, pained, traumatized state, then all I need to do is become willing to undo my lifetime of rage and trauma. Forgiveness is the technology for precisely how to do that. If you haven't yet met the forgiveness tools, I invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org. In the middle of the page, you'll see a bullseye. Click the bullseye, and that will open a series of links. It will start out with, as Jeannie just said, chapter 24 of the book. And the second link will tie you into a whole series of worksheets. And I'm really glad that Angela, thank you, Angela, for volunteering to take all of the worksheets and coordinate them into that four-pager. And, of course, I'm saying that because I know you're not on the show, so you can't rebut that. But anyway, we'll appreciate it when you synthesize all of those steps that are on all of the different worksheets. And now I think pretty much all of the different worksheets are on that second link. So you can just go through and, you know, you can go to the simplest starter worksheet. You can go to the seventh step. The deepest worksheet of them all is the 11th step, and that's the one that goes along with our four-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again video. We've also just completed and we actually just received the final link for a new four-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again with the 7-step worksheet. So as we get to work through the details of the editing on that, we'll have that one available for you. And it will go through the very latest worksheet step by step by step. So we are blessed to have all of that available. So the second link will give you a list of all of the worksheets that I think pretty much all of them we've ever used. And then it was kind of fun. Let's see, where were we about? What city were we in, Jeannie? We had just finished a presentation, and this little lady was probably 75. Oh, it was in Grand Rapids. This lady's probably about 75, and she came up and she reached into her purse and she pulled out a piece of paper and handed it to me. And it was the first worksheet that I presented in Grand Rapids about 22 or 23 years ago. It was very primitive, almost typewriter-looking, you know, worksheet from way, way back when. And she said, I'm still doing this. And she'd been at the workshops in Grand Rapids way back 20-some years ago. That was kind of cool. So some of those early, early worksheets aren't there, but there's a whole series of them. And as was mentioned on the show yesterday with Magda and last week with Vernie, is, you know, you can pick up and become proficient at a variety of worksheets. And as you do, you'll find that if you're kind of getting stuck in one, shift over to another, it jiggles different brain cells, gets a different part of the mind going. And so it can be useful to shift around and shake the mind up and, instead of getting it into too much of a routine. But take that worksheet and put it to consistent, persistent use. And as you do, the changes that happen are monumental.
Michael,
Angela, yes,
is in her Angela's in her car in route, and she's listening, and so she just sent me a text on the phone that was just a laugh out loud sample. And for those of you that weren't listening yesterday,
you wouldn't hear me, Angela.
For those of you who weren't on the show yesterday, she kind of jokingly, although she may have been very serious, said she'd like to have a four-page worksheet. Michael had made the statement that if he took all the information that had come about during the worksheet process and everything, that it would be four pages long. And she said, I'd like to have that. So he told her that she could make it then. So anyway, that would definitely be an intensive for it to go to that extreme. But we do have a caller. So, but we've got about 9 minutes. Area code 765, you're on the air.
Hi there, this is Sunny from Indiana.
Hey there, young lady. How do you be today?
I think I'm doing really well. Kind of part and parcel to the what you and Dr. Tim were sharing in the intro to the show. I'm still not getting, you know, my daughter is still not really taking hold to the worksheet process, so I'm kind of doing, you know, doing mine for both of us. through the generational works and so on. And I wondered, I'm attempting to discern, as is her counselor, her ability or willingness to communicate. And I'm being very open to all of whatever she may or may not have been subject to, you know, with her father. When you start to talk, just general conversation, like if you're trying to give me instruction, you know, like if you were talking to me, Michael, and I were to just start, stop. And she'll do that. I attempted to approach her last night, and I said, honey, this is about her diabetes issues. If her meter is high, her dad flips out and judges her by that. And I was discussing, because she had to come home from school with her diabetes yesterday, and I attempted a conversation with her, and she did that, stop. And so I approached her, and she just kind of shunned away from me. I said, honey, it is not within me to convict you or criticize you. I want to be close to you in the moment and let you know we need to communicate that, you know, I love you, and can I help you? How can I help you get through this?
Slow down. So when you offer her, we need to communicate, you're framing a goal for her that she may not want to set.
Okay.
You might find it useful to replace that. Hold for a second. You might find it useful to replace that with, I'm really feeling a need to communicate. I want to hear what's going on for you, and I want to share with you what's going on for me. And by owning it, rather than telling her and what she should be doing, you might find that there'll be a little more of an opening.
And I appreciate that. I do ask her more frequently, and that was kind of regulatory hypothetical, Michael, and I do apologize. But I'll ask her constantly, you know, will you please talk to me? Would you please explain to me, you know? But she will not communicate. She just isn't. And she's made little steps toward it. And for time's sake, on for the show's purposes too, I'm wondering how much part of this isn't her generational link. And I know you had suggested the diabetes is a mourning process, which is, but equally, the alcoholism on both sides of both his family and my family, though we do not conduct as such, it's affecting her because she likes to stay in about the 200, 220 range on those crazy meters, you know. But that's where she finds she likes to be and maybe maintaining a blood alcohol level. And so I'm, you know, just kind of wondering about that and how I can do my own worksheets to lift that tendency away, you know, if that's the case. Am I making sense? She wants to do this. She related to you so well, but she's equally, doing this work with you is, again, communicating her emotions, and even on paper, she's not ready.
Take a breath. Can I give you some, are you open to some coaching? Can I give you some feedback?
I didn't hear you.
I say, are you open to some coaching? Can I give you some feedback?
Yes, please.
You know how many times on the show I've had to repeat the word stop maybe 15 times before you stop? Do you remember how many times we've done that on the show over the last 2 years?
Yes.
Do you know what that's called from where I sit, from my side of the fence? It's really hard to get a word in edgewise. And I can imagine that when your daughter says stop, that she might be in the same place as I find myself in relationship to our conversations, and that is that you ask a question, and then you go on talking like the question was never asked, and like you have no interest whatsoever in the answer. What you're interested in is saying what you have to say.
And I appreciate that vantage point. She will do this to her counselor.
So notice I'm in the middle of a conversation and you're talking over me.
My misinterpretation of your voice inflection, Michael.
Yeah, okay. So maybe you maybe you misinterpret her inflection too. And maybe, and I know you've got a quick mind, so maybe if you slowed your mind down a little bit and, you know, between comments, questions, answers, leaving a little bit of space might give her the space to feel like she's got room to put input in without just being talked over. Because I'll just share from where I sit. I have found that it's not only difficult to get a word in edgewise, but sometimes it's almost impossible. And that the words from your side don't stop. They continue and continue and continue and continue. If I were the child brought up in that scenario, I could easily imagine why I wouldn't have much to say. Because there's not much room for it.
As much between you and I, Michael, whereas I'm usually very, very respectful of your time and still carry that preoccupation for the regulatory speech corrections, because there is so much going on here that I hope to be respectful of the time and cover as much material with you as I can, because it is still very timely for her sake.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
we do have a court hearing on Thursday that determines quite a bit as well. So we're clearing it out, and I am grateful to you for this work. I'm doing a lot of worksheets on the witness of my daughter's suffering. And to continue to manipulate me. So, and
this is the third time I've tried to say something and you haven't stopped. Third time I've tried to say something and you haven't stopped. Do you notice? My biggest input would be, shh, quiet, don't say another word. Just hold the space and watch what happens. In the meantime, we are down to just a few seconds. We appreciate your participation. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. And we hold the space. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. And that's an awesome gift to give. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow with you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Wright, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.